invasion.
About
a few, yeah.
A few months.
Few, before I've invasion? Forgotten a lot of that of the date.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when we got back there, and then my job was, I had a troop, some troop of mechanics, tank men. Mm-hmm. This is Canadian, and we went to a certain forest in England, all covered nice of flats, area covered with trees. And the American tanks were coming in for the invasion. And my job was they brought the, pick up the tanks. And of course, before that, we went through this route, I don't know how many times, at night and day. And every man had to remember the route, because that everything was done, could be done at dark. No lights,
yeah, like that. Okay.
So we went down and got tanks, and everybody knew the route. And we'd take the tanks up, get them into the trees, and then in the daytime, we would get them all serviced. Like all the tools were in a wax, you know, heavy wax. And we had to service them and get everything in military order, in action. And we'd go back again and get some more. We stored a whole load of
And they were covered by the trees.
Covered by the trees, plant. That's right. And everything was done at night. And that was my job for a long time, quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I dropped into the English, at an English army on our way sometimes for something to eat, you know, and any hour of the night I was given orders that I could have a wake the cook up and have them give us some food. And it was what a thing, yeah. And then, of course, the invasion started. And we were in, I was a week in after the invasion, 1 week after. And then I got as far as Ghent. Ghent had just been taken, and I got as far as Ghent. And then I was in Ghent we were in a agricultural college in Ghent. Very nice spot, very nice. And then I went back, two of us went back to Canada, we came back to Canada, and, we went back to England there for a while, our first. Then I was sent back to England, to Canada with another person, and we were going to Australia. We went to Ottawa, then I was stationed out here in Vancouver for a while, and he was in Ottawa.
This was in late 44?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we were going to fly to Australia. And I had a training in loading tanks on LSDs and loading and unloading. So I was going down there with this intelligence officer from the, I think he was from the Ontario tank. And then we were going to fly to Australia and meet the Canadians coming down there. There was a certain beach in Australia we were going to settle at. And then we had our spot picked out for the mainland of Japan. I saw that. The area was going to be invaded. And then, of course, we were there for a while. Then I got a wire from him from Ottawa and the atomic bomb had dropped.
You were in Australia at this time?
No, I didn't go over.
You
we were just
going
to go, you see, but then the atomic bomb was dropped, and that was it.
Okay. Well, we covered a lot of ground there in between D plus 7 you went in around there and Ghent.
Yeah, that's right.
Is there anything you'd like to recount from that period in North
Well,
Europe?
I guess I was scared of there than anything in the world, you know. I thought, no, I'm going through this again now. Mm-hmm. My time must be coming, you know. That was in my mind most of the time. Must be coming. Anyway, it didn't, and I can understand why the Germans didn't release their armor at the beginning. I don't understand it, because, you know, they had a lot, and the Navy shelled that area, you know, and ruined a lot of tanks, and the Air Force came in, and I can understand it, but it was, I saw the Bimini Ridge, went past there, and we were going on to the other side. We went into Lille and Armentières and all the old places. I went through there. And then I ended up in Ghent.
A typical day in the life be for a lieutenant in a tank troop from start to finish? What would you do during, during Ortona?
Well, the first thing in the morning at dawn, before light sometimes, you would go to an O group. Now, an O group is the officers' group, and that you're given your orders for that day. And, so you're told where to, what kind of intelligence they had about the Germans, the enemy, and what strength, and then they would tell you what troops going in. Like often it was British infantry, quite often British infantry, and or Canadians, and there's going to be so long of an artillery barrage, and then we're to move in and do leapfrog. And leapfrog is when the tanks go over up to a ridge and the infantry follow. And then the infantry passes the tanks and go down, and we shoot, cover them with our heavy guns, the next ridge they have to take and keep the enemy's heads down and things like that. And we could contact aircraft. And like one time we had a ridge and the tanks just got slaughtered. And the Germans had their guns dug right into the ground and all just a muzzle showing, you see, which is a pretty hard target to hit. And so we called in the New Zealand dive bombers. They had Kitty Hawks, which was a very nice dive bomber. Very good. Not so much of a fighter, but a good dive bomber. And they came in with these planes, and they took the ridge very easily. And one plane was hit directly with an ACAC, and it just exploded in a great, huge mass, and just the engine you saw going down. But it was very easy taken after that. It just really discouraged the Germans, that attack. And they were terrific. They came right down. They came right down straight in, you know, and they didn't miss. And so we'd go up there, and we'd fight, and everybody was tired. And sometimes you couldn't eat. You couldn't have a meal or the afternoon dinner. You couldn't eat that. You had no time. You had food, you know, the compost things we had, so the composition stuff in the box, in the tank we had stuff. Canned stuff, and of course, bullies and hardtack. But you couldn't take time out to eat. There just wasn't time. And you just had to go hungry. And then you would, in the evening, you would sit your position, often sat, and held your position. And then tanks would gradually back out. And then go into a sort of a sheltered area, and there meet you with an ammunition truck and a fuel truck. And the tanks took a lot of gas. Mm-hmm. And you filled up, and you got your ammunition, then you went back up to the front again, and then the next another tanks went back. And that was what you did. And of course, you were pretty tired when the troops were fighting all day, then you had to back up and get your tank, you know, and you didn't have much time to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And when you did go to sleep, it wasn't a very good sleep very often, because the Germans shelled a lot. And another thing that is, when a troop backs up, like the Germans, when they were driven back, they measured everything on that they passed. They could measure. They get accurate gunfire. They'd see a nice, crossroad, you see. And they would, when they got back, maybe 3 or 4 miles, they had that taped perfectly. They knew that was going to, the troops and carriers and things were going to move over that place. Then they had these copses, these rows of trees, or hedges. Now, the infantry tonight, the Canadians or British infantry tonight, are going to sleep in those nice hedges. Keep them from the wind and all that. And what would they do? Send over an aircraft and right down the hedge. And they had everything worked out. And of course, an advancing army always lost more casualties than an army that's sitting and waiting for them. And that's what you had to watch for your troops, get them into a place where they don't, the Germans are going to land a good shell. And they were pretty accurate, I'm telling you. And then when you finished that, then you would probably go to another discussion group quite often. And you would get an idea what was going on the next morning, like a few. And often if you're a point troop, that is the one that was the dreaded thing in the tank corps, a point troop. That means the troop that's chosen in the morning to go out and work out slowly to find out where the enemy is. And of course, when they go there, they have to be shot at. Know where the enemy is, you see, and the enemy's sitting waiting. And of course, once you get there, then the infantry knows, everybody knows where the enemy is when they start hitting you. And of course, your tank troops are just laced with. And the officers usually didn't sleep all that night. They used to walk the floor, walk the ground, you know. And they didn't tell the other troops at all that they were point troop, or they wouldn't sleep either. Yeah. That was a dangerous job. It was like suicide in many ways. And usually a tank with a couple of other tanks, just three tanks went out, you know. And usually two was hit pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And they had a flaming coffin. They had both sides were filled with octane, heavy with gas. When they got penetrated, that thing blew.
Would you have rather been in the infantry, or did you?
No, you got so trained in a tank that was your home. Mm-hmm. But the infantry were scared to death to come in our tanks.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go in that fire trap, you know. And it was what you were used to, you see. Now, I wouldn't want to have gone as an infantryman and walked into a machine gun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like that. But anyway, they didn't like our job at all. They thought it was crazy. Yeah.
How well do you think you were trained, and how much do you think the training helped in during the actual...
Well, German, we were trained very well. I think we were trained very good. Better than a lot of, I think, better than a lot of Americans, because they were greener and they didn't been in the war so long. But they were, we were trained very well, and we talked to some German prisoners, and they said that our infantry, the Canadian infantry, said was very good. He said, but you tank people, he said, you make a lot of mistakes sometimes. Of course, when you're in a tank, you're sitting out like a sore thumb anyway, you see. But anyway, he praised the infantry very highly. And another thing that I think the thing that took the worst out of me is, you see, when you run in the tank and you come to a situation, you've got to make a decision. And you can't sit there and just, what am I going to do? You've got to make it like that. Snap decision. Whether it's wrong or right, it's got to be done. And that is the biggest worry that an officer has, I think. Yeah. So.
When did you finally get home?
I got home. I was home just before the Japanese surrendered. I was here. I just got home then.
And how long did you?
Oh, I stayed in the army for, I was debating whether to stay in or get out. And I was offered a job back in the new armored camp at New Brunswick. Gage, was it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I forget the name anyway, but I was offered, my major sent a telegram out in Vancouver and told me to come in the army and train troops with him. But I thought it over a bit, and then I thought I'd better get out.
And you left as a lieutenant?
I left as a lieutenant. I was acting captain, actually, but acting captain is just still a lieutenant with a... But I was going to get a promotion if I'd gone to I think it's Gatesound call, that's right. If I'd gone there, I got a promotion. But,
is there anything else you'd like to talk about or any subject we haven't discussed?
Yeah. Well, I don't... I noticed sometimes when you get back to London when it was being bombed, it was... My brother and I were there one time, and we were walking down the street, and this shell hit, or this bomb hit, you know, and we ran, we heard this, all these, you know how the slate, big slate roofs they had?
Mm-hmm.
We heard this stuff coming down, and we ran for cover. And boy, we would have been killed. That slate just piled up on the sidewalk. Oh, gosh. And heavy stuff.
Yeah. Well, what was London like during all the shelling?
Oh, it was still busy, you know, but... It was a lot of vacant places around, you know, and I still kept on fighting back, but yeah, it was quite a mess. I remember one time we used to go to the Charing Cross Hotel. We knew the fellow there. He was a nice guy, and he always wore a tuxedo. He owned this hotel, and he was served in the bar, you see, and his wife said, look at that tuxedo. It's all moth-eaten. It looked terrible, He said, that fellow won't take it off. He said, every time he comes to work in the morning, gets up to work in the morning, he puts that tuxedo on. So, we used to get the top story, you see, on this. There's about maybe five or six stories. I got the top story, and this one time we were there, my brother and I and some others, and the Germans made a raid on the railway station, which was right there. Oh, that was hot. That was terrible. And we were pretty well shaken. The wind was blowing out and everything. And then when that was over, that was about 1 o'clock in the morning or so. And the boss came up, and the owner came up and said, okay, boys, let's open the bar. He wasn't supposed to, you know, like it. I guess it was against the British orders. But anyway, we opened the bar, we'd sit there and have a good drink, and then we'd go back to bed. But I enjoyed that. We used to go there quite often to the Charing Cross. Yeah. And they had nice dances and things in Brighton. It was quite pleasant.
Is there anything else?
I don't think so. I was never so scared in my life most of the places. I'd like to tell you something else, too. I should have told my doctor. When I was in France one time, and I was so scared that I was going to panic. I thought I'd had it long enough. I was just about going to panic. In fact, I was dragged out of a fight in Italy by the medical doctor. He told me to get out and rest a few days, so I did. Anyway, I was so panicked and scared that something, adrenaline or something, went over me. And, you know, for that while, I could walk right into the machine gun nest. And it just happened that one time. It just changed my whole thoughts. If could be adrenaline. And when I see a mouse and a cat playing with a little mouse, there must be something in that that goes over that mouse to, so it it doesn't feel the pain or whatever it is. Yeah. But that's one thing that happened tonight. I never forgot. Yeah. But it just turned completely like a savage. I could have walked into anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just happened once.
Okay, well, yeah. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.